Well, hello everyone, and welcome to our Catholic News podcast. And happily, I have Bishop Tom Nayland down the line. Bishop Tom is our lead bishop for Asia here at the Catholic Bishops Conference of England and Wales. And Bishop Tom, you visited Pakistan in March. That must have been quite something.
I did, yes. I spent a week there with Aid to the Church in Need. So we visited some of the projects that they have helped to fund with the people, with seminarians and with the priests in the parishes, and also the bishops in three places, in Islamabad, in Lahore, and also in Faisalabad.
Excellent. Well, we'll come on to sort of some of the challenges faced by Catholics in Pakistan and also your experiences and your encounters. But tell us a little bit about what you've learned about the makeup of the Catholic Church in Pakistan.
I think the church is very strong. It's very much a minority, you know, between 1 and 2% of the population would be Christian stroke Catholic. There are other minority faiths and religions in the country as well. But even though it's a small number, the attendance at church, my experience was on a Friday afternoon, there were Stations of the Cross in the cathedral in Rawalpindi. And the place was full, and then followed by Mass at 4:30, and was informed afterwards then there were people also outside the church because they couldn't get in. And there were probably about 1,000 people inside the church on that Friday afternoon with the bishop, the parish priest, and others who would be there for Mass.
And how did those Catholics react to having a bishop from England and Wales over?
They gave me a warm welcome. That was one of the things that John Pontifex from Aid to the Church in Need mentioned before we went on the trip. He says, be prepared for the welcome. And it was, I mean, you get the garlands from the people. I also received numerous bunches of flowers. That had been the first time that had happened in my life. And also gifts as well from the people, little souvenirs of Pakistan. So again, the warmth of welcome, the connection with the people, the conversations that we had, very often most were speaking in reasonable English, and it was easy to converse with them.
Now, it'd be remiss not to acknowledge that obviously Christians, Catholics, minorities in Pakistan do face challenges. What sort of challenges do the Catholic community face out there?
Yeah, in conversations with young people, sometimes people of a Christian or a minority faith, religion, culture find it difficult to make progress, whereas in other countries throughout the world, people are accepted for who they are and are allowed to go through an education system without, you know, too much discrimination. So it is a challenge. For a lot of these young people, Pakistan is a young country, lots of young people around, and you think in other parts of the world, they would, you know, relish opportunities to pursue education quite freely.
And tell us a bit about the places that you visited. What sort of projects did you see, places you visited, people you encountered? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, in a variety of settings, one that comes immediately to mind was in Rawalpindi, where next door to the cathedral, where we had the Mass on the Friday afternoon, there's a hostel for young girls and women. Some of them may be orphaned. Some of them may be from family backgrounds, which are kind of quite challenging. Others then, you know, could have fallen foul of some criminal activity in the background. Not that they were the criminal, but, you know, other people were the criminals. So they have a place of shelter and safety there, and they receive education then at a neighbouring convent school. And it would seem that they get a really good education there. So again, and that seems to be one of the strong threads running through many of the dioceses that we visited, was the education for young people, for young adults as well, to try and lift them out of the poverty, to seek qualifications, to get them into the civil service, so they're able then to join in the wider community serving the Pakistan society through the civil service network.
Is it a country where Catholics can worship freely?
Generally, yeah. I mean, the strange thing about all the situations was that the church or the parish hall where we met people is in a compound. So there would be some security going in, there might be a security man on the gate. And sometime in the bigger towns and cities, there could be police and army on the street, just ensuring that people are able to come and go freely to worship. So obviously that we've heard news of, violence that's happened across Pakistan and other parts of the world. And sometimes it's tied up with places of worship that targeted not just Catholic Christian places, but other places as well. So I suppose the wider society does what it can to try and protect people. But I suppose there is, that kind of question mark at the back of the mind when people set out to go to church. You know, locally, it'll be known where they're going. And I suppose people wouldn't have necessarily the freedom that we have to turn up to church or to a Christian or Catholic event whenever we feel like it.
But that said, I think I was lucky enough to see a good dozen pictures from your visit. And I'm pretty sure in one of them I could see the shell of a church being built. So it's a sort of, it's an alive church, isn't it?
It is, yes. That was the community or the colony in Chakwal, which is on the outskirts of Islamabad. And there was a small estate of houses being built. The people were, most of the thing of them have been built already. So there were people well established and occupying them. And I think in the months after Easter, the church that you saw in the photograph, that will be officially opened by the bishop. So there was the shell of the church there. And people were just, that's where we actually met the majority of the people, was in this kind of empty shell, if you like, which what hopefully, if I ever return there, it'll be a different kind of scene. But very much, a warm, welcoming, vibrant community.
You know, when you were mentioning the sorts of projects and the places you visited and the fact that we're talking 1-2%, relatively low number, of course, as Christians, as Catholics in Pakistan, it never ceases to amaze me how much these small communities, minorities, punch well above their weight in terms of, either education, healthcare, provision. That they're working hard for the majority society, aren't they?
They are working hard, and we heard stories that, there might be a Catholic school or a Catholic hospital, but it serves a wider community as well. So they are, I suppose, they're not just kind of in an enclave or a kind of a ghetto, but they're there really to serve the wider society. I think in terms of education, there's something like 300 Catholic schools across the whole of Pakistan. And very often, some of the schools are well subscribed by people not of Christian or Catholic faith, but the majority of people in the population.
And in terms of the local church, obviously, I know you know we've talked about that, but the hierarchy of the local church, what were they sort of impressing upon you as a bishop from England and Wales? What did they want you to know about their church?
The evidence we saw without any kind of prodding or probing was the number of people who would turn up for prayer, for mass. And I believe there's something like a 70 or 75% practice rate among the local Catholic population. So given the environment in which they live, where there can be discrimination because you're part of a minority, and obviously then there's been, well-documented cases of where there's been violence or even killings associated with places of worship, people make a real kind of deliberate choice to say, yes, I want to live my faith, I want to practice my faith, I want to share my faith with my children. And that's supported really by the catechists on the ground. They seem to be very, very important people. They do a 3-year training course. They live among the people, I suppose, like we're used to priests living among the people in our parishes in England and Wales. And they become then the bridge then between the local Catholic families and community and the priest as well. So there's lots of strong, links with the priests locally. Obviously, the parishes cover, miles and miles and miles of territory, whether it's in a city, a town, or out in the countryside. We visited a couple of colonies which are on the outskirts of the city, in what was, I suppose, one time farmland or wasteland. And now there are communities there growing up and thriving.
And it's a final question that I do like to ask almost every time, actually. I'm a Catholic sitting in the pew, in this case, in North London, in England and Wales. And I don't know a huge amount. I now know what you've told me about the Catholic Church in Pakistan. How should I learn more about it? What would you say to me?
I think quite simply, when I was in conversation with people, whether it could be with a young person, it could be with a mother or a father of a family, they just simply said, pray for us. Some of them were very specific about the needs. It was to do with themselves, their general health and well-being, or the health and well-being of the family. They have aspirations for their children. And I think a lot of them make many sacrifices. So I would think, you know, I would encourage people to pray for them. And also then there's organisations like the Aids of the Church in Need. CAFOD also are involved in humanitarian work in the south of the country where there's been flooding and earthquakes. So there are agencies that are based in this country or have a connection with the church in this country. So if people want to do something practical, they could just, you know, go online or make a phone call and get some information. And it might then encourage them then to support in a kind of a tangible, practical way the church in Pakistan.
Well, Bishop Tom Nalen, our lead bishop for Asia, thank you so much for just giving us a few minutes and a few of your reflections on that visit. And I take it, given the opportunity, you would go back.
I would. To be honest, when there was a possibility of a visit coming up, and of course, with the pandemic, you know, people haven't been able to do that for all kinds of reasons. When they mentioned Pakistan, I kind of gulped and took a step back. And, you know, I realize it is a challenging place to live, or it can be a challenging place to live. But once I set foot on the ground over there, again, like I say, that the welcome I received from the people and the kind of connections I've made, I'm still in contact with the priests and people through the WhatsApp or through the internet. That kind of friendship was built up quite quickly just from a short visit. So hopefully I'll be able to develop my links and interest in Pakistan, the church in Pakistan, the country as well. You know, it's a young country. It's a fertile country. There's a very energetic young, labor force there. So it should be a place that's booming, really. So I look forward to seeing how things develop in the future.
Well, Bishop Tom, we thank you very much. And we'll continue as well, of course, to pray for Pakistan, to pray for the Catholics, to pray for the minorities, and to pray for the work of Aid to the Church in Need and others that are looking to just hold up the people and support them in their daily lives. But thanks very much, Bishop Tom.
Thank you very much.